All right. This is Scott Hanselman, and I'm in Vishal Joshi's office. You've just moved offices, it looks like, sir.
Yes, I did. I did.
You got your fridge, though. You have your tiny fridge. It's not plugged
yes,
in.
It's not plugged in. There's no beer. Should have been there, but...
Now, does every Microsoft employee get a tiny fridge?
No. Every intern gets it.
Interns get tiny fridges?
Interns did get tiny fridges.
That sucks.
And, yeah, so there is this partiality going on, and, you know, can't help.
Wow, okay. So you're a program manager on the web platform team, right?
Yes.
And we've talked before because you're working on some stuff to make deployment of websites easier.
Yes.
Now, we were actually, it's 8 in the morning here at Microsoft, and there is no one around.
Yes, there is absolutely no one.
Yes. And we came up the elevator. We were talking about the last time that you came up to Microsoft at 8 in the morning, and it was to meet with Scott Gu and do a Gu review.
Yes, that's right.
So what's a Gu review, and what did you present?
So we had big shots of developer divisions, Brian Harry, Jason Zander, Scott Guthrie, and we had to talk about deployment and just give them an update on where we stand on web deployment because it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so most people do it with Xcopy, right?
Yeah, they do it in a bunch of different ways. That is one of the problems. So if you think about it, what we tried to present is that we had this something which is called as advisory council. You were part of that
advisory council.
And we had 100 people, MVPs, insiders, and a bunch of other people who joined and like shared their issues and problems around web deployment.
Right.
So we took all of them together and then tried to work on this solution, which hopefully in VS10, ASP4 timeframe would solve a lot of their problems.
So this is stuff that people will be able to see in VS10 Beta 2?
Yes.
Coming soon, or maybe when they listen to this video, it'll be already out. We don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know, because we don't know when this video is happening.
Yes.
All right, so you actually presented to the Gu and Jason Zander and those guys our pain, right? The pain of the public.
Yes.
So what do we got here? We've got a PowerPoint?
Oh, yeah. The infamous PowerPoint. What we did talk about is that web deployment is not necessarily repeatable and reliable. And what I meant to say is that in my previous company, we used to make like this big monolithic documents and like say, if you want to deploy this site, you know, go ahead and do these things, go and change the ACLs over here, do this thing with the virtual directory, create new app pools, whatever it might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing standard, do it once, the next month deployment again fails because you know, it was something in the document that someone missed and stuff like that. So it's not really reliable, repeatable. The second thing which is there is that there is no way to get a snapshot or an archive of your website state.
Mm.
Let's say you like the state of your web and you really want to take a snap of it and like put it somewhere for later use.
Okay, so you did do it manually, but now it works and you just like it that way and you want to say, make it like this again.
Yes, and so you would want to take a snapshot or an archive. That was one other thing. FTP was unreliable, and you know, people wanted to copy their webs across to different machines.
Mm-hmm.
Some used FTP, some used just file copy and stuff like that. If you are in different domains, you know, like Redmond domain and you know Phoenix or whatever the other domains might be for staging and production, people either have this magic shared folder or they basically FTP their content. FTP was not reliable either. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the transport protocol was not reliable. Even if it did transport, it didn't do anything on the destination. So it was kind of like this one-way street, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there were those kind of problems. And IIS configurations means that is kind of one of the biggest pain points. You have to create app pools.
Yeah.
You have to go ahead and set their identities. You have to set up ACLs. Or 404 error pages, which are just inside IISs, that you need to modify and then MIME types if you need to add them. You name it.
I did a lot of this work in banking on multiple machines, so it's like, okay, I got that machine working.
Yeah.
I got 26 other machines, and I want them exactly the same.
Yeah, and how about if we were able to take a server snapshot and just replicate
yeah.
all your servers?
And if I could even do it without touching the machine?
Yes.
You know, I don't want to log in. I don't want to remote in. We used to have a joke at my last company that said that if you have to open up two Explorer windows to deploy your website, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
And that was like our metric, is that if you have to open up two Explorer windows and copy a file from here to here.
So imagine if you did not have to open any Explorer window at all.
Yeah. Well, and we would go and write batch files in PowerShell, and we kind of felt like MacGyver. You know, we were kind of building up websites with magic. So, I mean, is this a solved problem now?
Yes. In fact, there are other things which are worth talking about. Webconfig transformation, like changing webconfigs. I think you wrote a blog post sometime back,
long time ago. We would go from debug to release, yes. And we'd have XSLT do it or something.
Right. So there is that problem which mm-hmm. was there. Incremental content updates. So now if your site is producing some content on the server, right, say XML files or uploading pictures for a picture album, stuff like that, you cannot really just wipe it off and put the next version. Right? Mm-hmm. You need to incrementally update it to make sure that the extra files on the destination are not washed away.
Right.
Then you also have got continuous integration problems. If you want to do it, you know, whether it is CI or CI using cruise control or using team build, whatever you're using. But like in an integrated fashion, doing that is an important thing that people want to do.
Right. So in the middle of my build, I mean, at the end of my build, rather, I then deploy out to a site.
You do unit tests. You do BVTs probably. Then you do unit tests. Then you deploy. Then you run like the load tests. Or
right. Integration tests.
Next day morning, you have your stuff ready. So that's kind of a problem.
Sure. And change my database as well.
I mean, the integrated database is another one aspect, and then. So there are enough number of things. I think that we could probably talk about them. I'll quickly scan through what else is there. So syncing up in a differential fashion, remotely syncing based on delegation and authorization. What that really means is, say Scott is a superman and he needs to get more powers on the server versus Vishal is a poor guy and he should not.
You have a tiny fridge though.
Yeah.
So I think you're doing okay.
So the thing is that if those were the kind of rules that server admins decided to set up,
mm-hmm.
right, they could basically say Scott can deploy settings and not database or something like that.
Cool. So how does this thing work? I mean, is this a command line tool? Is it a web tool?
So what we call this is that the base framework is called Microsoft Web Deployment Tool, which is msdeploy.exe to be sure.
Okay, msdeploy.
Yeah. So what that actually, the way it works, is that we have a concept of provider-based model. Let me use this guy to actually.
Oh, the white. We're going to the whiteboard.
Yeah. So.
I think we saw some planning for Dev 12 there on your whiteboard as you're erasing the secrets.
You didn't capture it.
No, nonsense. Okay. I'll Photoshop that out.
You and I, both of us, will get fired.
Well, that's right. But actually, you will get fired, and I will take your fridge.
Yeah, maybe that's right. So, the way, if you are on source over here.
Okay.
Right, let's say this is source, this is destination. Now, if the way MS Deploy really works, right, is that MS Deploy works on a concept of a provider-based model. Let's say this is P1, P2.
Okay. What do they provide?
So providers are specific to the resource that you want to operate on in deployment. So one of that could be content, right? The other could be GAC. The other could be database.
Okay.
Provider 4 could be IIS settings, right?
I see.
Right, stuff like that. Now this is an extensible model and you could write your own. So like for instance, we don't have MSMQ, but if you want to deploy MSMQ, you could write your own provider, right?
Okay.
Then the way it really works is that on the source, everything, MS Deploy basically works with what we call as a source manifest.
So a manifest is like a bill of lading. It's like a complete description of everything that application is?
Yeah, and that is the beauty of VS10 is that VS10 will create this for you. So VS10 will actually look at your app and decide what all your app depends upon and what all does it need to include, whether it needs to include content. And you can also specify a bunch of things. Like, for instance, you can say, I want to take IIS settings, I don't want to take IIS settings. I want to take database, I don't mm-hmm. want to take database.
And this is all automatic inside of the IDE.
Yes. And so once source manifest is provided to MS Deploy, it's going to run through all these providers, right? And what it can do is that it can go from source to destination. Right?
Okay.
On the destination, MS Deploy would be present, right?
Is it a service?
Well, so let's assume that MS Deploy is present on the server, and I'll get to that point. And then again, it runs the same providers on this side.
Right.
and then it hydrates and make it work, right? Another interesting piece is that if this destination was a different machine, right?
Right.
If it was a remote machine, then in that case, yes, there is a, what we call as ISWM SVC. It is a service. It uses IIS accounts, and it has got a complete delegation model where we can actually say, like, Scott will get permission for IIS provider, but not for DB provider, stuff like that.
I see. Right? So the example that you were giving at the beginning before I asked the service question, it's MS deploy on a local machine. So you would use this to deploy tests to your own machine?
Yes.
As well as...
That's what I'm saying. That the concept is source and destination. The goal is destination should become same as source.
I see.
Right? And now, if your source is a different machine, that's great. If you're now from the source, if you want to go to a zip file, then we take everything into what we call as a web package, mm-hmm. right? And the web package is a zip file, which eventually then you can go to a different machine. So,
In the example of MSMQ, let's say that I've got a farm of web servers. I've got three web servers,
mm-hmm.
and they have one queue.
Sure.
What does my manifest look like? Because my logical application is three machines, all with the same website,
sure.
and that one queue. I don't want to set the queue up three times.
Right. So, and that's the same case with database, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
So you have like three web servers in one database.
Exactly.
So what we do is that along with the zip file, we also create two other files, which is deployed at command file. And that particular file takes three switches. One is slash D, which is a trial run. You can run that switch, and you can find out what is going to happen. Mm. This is like IT admin's dream.
Right, what's like PowerShell on the what-if switch.
Yes, right? So then the next thing is that you basically do a slash Y, which is the actual install.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have got slash M, which is MS deploy custom parameters. And then you could just basically say skip and MSMQ.
Ah, okay.
And then... You know, for the first run, you install MSMQ. For the subsequent runs, you don't need to install, right?
Ah, very cool.
So that is what, at a very high level, this thing does. The DB provider actually can take a SQL script,
mm-hmm.
or it can actually suck up data and schema from your source database.
And does it automatically.
So those all things are already built in. All of these things are feasible via command line. So, like, from MS Build.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do, like, something like myproject.csproj, right,
mm-hmm.
slash T, and package. And that would create a package.
All right.
You could do slash T, colon, MS deploy publish. And this will actually, then you, of course, need to pass properties like server name and user ID and password.
So how much of this is new in Dev 10, and how much of it has been around for a while and people don't know about it?
This is all new in Dev 10.
Okay.
Except for the fact that MS Deploy is an independent install, so you could actually install MS Deploy and do a lot of these things manually today.
Okay.
Right? Few other key things to note is that also when you're moving from your source to destination, your configuration is going to change, right?
Right.
So with VS 10, we are introducing... web.debug.config, web.release.config in the box.
Automatically. So when you go into Solution Explorer,
you will see
the little plus sign, and then underneath it, you have a debug and a release web.
Right. You will have these config files, and these are actually transform files. So these are not really web config files.
Oh, so it's not a copy of web config.
The schema-wise, it is a copy of web config, but you just add few special commands.
Okay.
Like the way you want to change your stuff. Like, let's say, for instance, you wanted to, you had 10 connection strings.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to change the third one.
Right.
Right. Then you could basically say something like xdt colon replace. And then what you're trying to do is that you're trying to tell, the syntax is very simple. Let's say, very quick syntax is, let's say you had this add, right?
Right, connection strings. Yeah.
Name is equal to... and connection string is equal to, let's say, dev connection string. So this is on your dev box.
Right.
Now, this is in your original web config file. In web.release.config, you will copy the same section just like the way you wanted it to. You just copy the things that you want to change. So you don't have to copy the complete
okay,
web.
Okay, so if I have a 500K web config, I don't have that
right.
duplicated.
Right, and you have 248K. You were one of our canonical examples.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's true.
So, yeah, so you don't have to copy the complete thing, but you basically do something like foo, connection string is equal to now release, right? So you change whatever you wanted to change. And that is where you basically use this new syntax saying xdt colon transform equal to replace.
I see. And that just yanks that one and replaces it with
foo. Right. But now if you had 10 of these and you wanted to specifically match the one with the name foo, then what you would do is that you would basically apply one more attribute, which is xdt colon locator. And in this case, you would basically say, my locator is match, because you're trying to match, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to match on the attribute name. So you would basically say...
So it's just an XPath?
Yeah. You can pass an XPath too. So there is a locator called XPath.
Ah, okay.
And then you can pass the complete XPath. There are like bunch of locators and bunch of transforms. So we've got replace, remove, insert, set attributes, remove attributes, everything that you can think of in the DOM.
Okay.
Like you have that. And
so does this mean that in Dev 10, I'll just go and hit like debug release or whatever in the combo box, and I'll say, oh, I'm in release mode, and I hit build, and then it's going to, and I could go and deploy
when
at the same time.
When you do deploy.
When I do deploy. So this doesn't happen during build.
Yeah, because if we did that during build and we change your original web config, then you would not be able to debug anymore.
Okay, so then I switch it to release, and I hit deploy.
Yeah.
And the web config that ends up over there is going to have these things applied to it.
Right. And we have basically two commands, which is on the right click of a project. You've got package, and you've got publish. And package basically does that zip file thing that we talked about. It takes your source, which is your dev box, puts it inside a zip file.
Right, kind of freeze dries it and puts
right.
it, yeah.
And then you can basically take it wherever you want to. And then publish actually just goes directly.
Now, wait a second. Does that mean that I can package this up and maybe take it to a secure machine that doesn't that doesn't have the service on it, that I'm not let anyone have access to?
Right. You can give it to your IT admin. They just need
and
to
then
install
they can
MS
go.
Deploy.
So the reason that I point that out is that that means that this here, that relationship between the source machine and the destination machine really could be broken in the sense of this machine's, you know, I need a floppy disk if I want to talk to that machine, because that's in the Federal Reserve somewhere.
Right, totally. You can just hand over a CD.
And then they go and they run it on the zip file, and it runs just as before.
Exactly.
Very cool.
So that is, those are some of the pieces. There are actually a bunch of other things which are part of the deployment story.
Where can we learn about this stuff?
I think we could go ahead and learn that on a bunch of places. There is our team blog is there.
Mm-hmm. So the MS Deploy team blog.
MS Deploy team blog is there. Then there is VWD team blog, which is Visual Web Developer team blog.
Right.
There's my blog on which you could read. And there's PDC sessions and videos.
So there'll be free videos after PDC on how this stuff works exactly.
Right. There are some videos from the previous PDC also where we talked about it a little bit. So there's a bunch of places where you could learn.
Cool. So this is a fully supported thing, though. This is going to be baked in. It's not a Skunkworks tool. It's not something that you were working on the side.
No, actually, the thing
it's a real thing.
It is a fully real thing. There is also IIS Manager UI with it. So, you know, when you try to do an MSI setup, you try to do all these UIs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that anymore because in IIS, you can just say import package or import application, and there would be a UI which will allow you to, like, just take the zip, run you through. We also parameterize a bunch of things, which means that you can your application name, your physical path, your connection string, all of
those. So it's all coming clear now. You're saying that this is the thing that makes like the web platform installer work.
Yes.
So when you go up to Microsoft.com/web and you click on something, it's downloading a package that's just a zip file.
Right.
So when I made that one for DOS Blog, I took a DOS Blog and we made it into an installer and we put it up at Microsoft.com/web.
/gallery.
Yes.
I
didn't think of it as being very complicated. I mean, I just made a manifest file. I stuck it in a zip. I set some paths up, and
that's
it was pretty much done. I mean, this when you were describing this, it's like, wow, this would be cool for enterprises. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this seems kind of complicated. And then I realized that, well, I've done this already.
Yeah.
I just didn't know it.
Right, and the thing is that you can now import and export right from IIS.
Right.
So you can actually go to IIS and say, this is the web I want to go ahead and create a package on. You can say export, tack, and then it will have a zip.
And that's the freeze dry. And then you hand the zip to the IES, the admin guy, and he just rehydrates it.
Yeah, and he just rehydrates it. And he gets all, the best part is that he gets UI for free.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, every web install will have the same UI. People will be able to just go through next.
Wow.
There will be variables to change, like the application name, physical paths, connection strings, and stuff like that, which can be changed at install time.
Wow.
Because you would not know.
We should tell somebody.
Yeah. That's why we're talking to you.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Vishal. I really appreciate it. We'll have links on the show site, and we'll make sure that everybody sees how to do this, and we'll do some screencasts and things
later. Yes.
A little bit later.
Sure.
Very cool. Thanks a lot.
Take care, man.